Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, and conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Today, we've got an interview with Pat Fitzgerald, head football coach at Northwestern University. Let's get going. This episode is presented by All Over Media, which provides advertising solutions on mobile billboards and convenience stores in 200 markets across the country. High school students pick colleges for an assortment of reasons. There were several key factors in my making Northwestern University my number one choice, mainly that it had the nation's best journalism program. What wasn't among the reasons? The football team. My freshman year, I could use the student ID, the wild card, to get into any football game. My friends and I would usually tailgate for a bit, then casually head in whenever we felt like it. Then, September 2nd, 1995, everything changed. Northwestern was on a quarter system, so I was still at home in Virginia when the Wildcats were playing the season opener. I came home from a meeting, and my parents greeted me at the door with huge news. Northwestern upset Notre Dame, and my friend Dwayne Bates scored the game-winning touchdown. In the spirit of keeping this short, I'll spare you the remarkable and unforgettable details. But there is one of the funnier anecdotes of my college years. The Wildcats reached the Rose Bowl, and I called my dad and begged him for money so I could fly to California and attend the game. He asked me, "How much do you think it'll cost?" I can't remember the exact number I tossed out, but it was well below $1,000. He paused and said, "Nah, I'm sure they'll go again." Needless to say, we've not been back. One of the key players was a lightly recruited, not particularly physically gifted linebacker. His name, Pat Fitzgerald. But here's the thing about Pat. He played like he was the smartest player on the field, and he was so consistent and fundamentally sound. I mean, Northwestern, yes, Northwestern University, led the nation that season in scoring defense, and Pat was the key, winning the Nagurski and Bednarik Awards, among many others. Proving that season was no fluke, the next season, Fitzgerald repeated again in winning the Nagurski and Bednarik Awards, the first two-time winner of those awards. But his greatness at NU didn't end there. After coaching stints at Maryland, Colorado, and Idaho, Fitzgerald joined Randy Walker's Wildcat staff as a secondary coach in 2001. Then, after Walker's sudden passing, Pat Fitzgerald was hired as Northwestern's 29th head coach on July 7, 2006, and he's remained in that role since. No, we haven't won a national title, and yes, we're having a rough 2019 season, but Coach Fitzgerald is admired for his recruiting acumen, his team's consistency and toughness, and not to be overlooked at Northwestern, his players graduate and they're players of high character and class. And as you'll see in a few moments, Coach Fitzgerald still reveres the game he fell in love with as a boy in Orland Park, Illinois, and his parents' influence still weighs on how he carries himself and influences his three sons. Without further ado, let's get to our conversation with Northwestern University head football coach, Pat Fitzgerald. Coach Pat Fitzgerald, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so flattered and honored that you joined me. Let's go ahead and get rolling with the questions. The first question I had for you, Pat, is being intentionally vague, what's your favorite childhood sports-related memory?
Well, I had a bunch of them. I was really fortunate. You know, I played kind of the big three, I guess you'd say. I played football in the fall, basketball, and baseball were my three primary sports. Growing up, I was probably a little bit better baseball player than I was football. And when I was 10 years old and then 12 years old, we went and played in a World Series, one in California and one in Pennsylvania. We played Pony League rules. That was a great experience. I really enjoyed that and something that I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
Was there a coach when you were younger who really kind of inspired you and encouraged you?
Again, I was very fortunate. I had a lot of great coaches and they were all different. You know, some guys were professional coaches. That's what they did for a living, you know, PE teacher or and then the side job was coaching or you know, some dads that were grade school baseball and grade school football coaches that were all great. But the one guy in particular that jumps out to me and growing up was one of my best friends in the world, Nick Parisi. It was his dad, Jim Parisi. He was a tough guy, He taught the fundamentals of football the right way. He expects you to be tough and disciplined and be a great teammate. And, you know, he really, really jumped out to me.
Pat, what was the most valuable lesson you learned through a challenge or defeat?
Well, when I think back to growing up, there was a lot more defeat than there was success. And I think I learned at a pretty young age that you can work as hard as you possibly can. You can do all the little things. All that means is that you're prepared. And at game day, you got to go out and execute what you were taught and how to do it and when to do it. And I think at an early age, I figured that out pretty quickly. There were some, you know, tough games that we just did not execute in and just really cost us. And I think then as growing up in sports, it's something I still teach today.
Well, and I got to tell you, watching every game that you played college, I mean, that was one of the things that I really admired about you was your consistency. I mean, I really don't recall you having like a quote unquote bad game. You were just so prolific where you just were such a steady tackler and you always seemed to be where you were supposed to be.
Well, in high school, great, great, great coaches and great teachers. And you expected to call our defense on the line of scrimmage when I was in high school. There was a lot of studying that had to go in, a lot of film prep. And I was held accountable not only for the way I played fundamentally and how I tackled and all those things. I was also held accountable whether or not I put us in the right defense. So when I got to college, formation adjustments and personnel adjustments and, you know, all those things that you, a lot of guys around me were having to learn. I had already done that for 4 years. So I think I came in with a great pedigree and was really prepared mentally. I was probably too immature my first 2 years. We won't talk about those two, but my junior and senior, I think when I finally grew up a little bit and figured it out, I ended up being able to rely upon that stuff I learned.
What's one thing you would tell your 8, 12, or 16-year-old self?
Oh, my goodness. My 8-year-old self, I would tell him to enjoy everything you're doing. You know, you're learning, you're growing, you're winning, you're losing, you're failing. Just enjoy playing games and enjoy, you know, getting to know new people. And then, you know, my 16-year-old self, I would have told, if I were to go back, worry about the things you can control. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so concerned about the future. So concerned whether or not I was going to get a scholarship. So concerned whether or not this was going to happen for me and that was going to happen for me. If I were to go back and do it all over again, I would have studied harder. I would have worked harder. I would have enjoyed it more. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have stressed about the future and just enjoyed the moment.
Looking back, what was something you appreciated about your parents' influence on your athletic journey?
Well, my mom and dad were really influential in getting me involved in sports to start off with. I was, especially as a young kid, I was a daydreamer. I was a guy that, you know, really had a hard time focusing. So my mom signed me up for football in the second grade. I was like a second grader playing with sixth graders. I was getting my lips knocked off. It was some tough life lessons learned. But the biggest thing my parents taught me when it came to athletics or anything that it had to do with after school hours was if we're going to start something, we're going to finish it. So if we're going to go to football and you're going to be a football player, then you're going to see the first season out. And that first year was really hard. I remember I was like, man, I really don't want to go to practice. I was faking being sick and just really down. And my mom made me go, and she made me go and stick through it. And I would not be here today if it wasn't for that mentality of perseverance and ability to respond. And then I think the backbone of our family was humility. And things started really working well and having success. But my folks' expectations, we were always early. We were never going to be late to something. You're going to be the last guy to leave the field. You're going to help the coaches clean up. You're going to do all those little things. Just because you're having success doesn't mean you're better than you were as a guy trying to become a successful player. So it was something that is still, again, sticks with me now. I teach my boys that, not only on the team, but my three knucklehead sons that I got to teach every day that, you know, there's certain things that are non-negotiables in the Fitzgerald household. And if you're going to start it, we're going to finish it, and we're going to have a backbone of humility.
What are your two biggest priorities for each of your children's youth sports experience? Like, what are you looking for them?
Yeah, from a youth sports experience as a parent, I think number one is when you get a chance to go watch the team that your son or daughter are going to play on, make sure that health and safety is the number one priority of the coaching staff. And so what they're teaching fundamentally, the drill work they're doing, it needs to emulate the game and the fundamentals of the game to make sure the kids are healthy and safe. that's priority number one. Priority number two then is through those drills and the fundamentals and the technique that they're learning, are they having fun? You know, sports are meant to be a great extracurricular fun activity that you hope kids, win or lose, that they're having a blast. They look forward to practice. They just cannot wait for the games to happen. And the coach is creating a positive environment where the young person is growing as an individual. Well, I really hope my kids have success. I really, truly hope they're average and everything. And then as they get older, you know, they start to find the thing that they're really passionate about. But I think too many parents today are more worried, kind of how I was as a 16-year-old. What do we have to do to get our child to specialize, to be the best, so they can get a scholarship and blah, blah, blah. All those things take care of themselves. If you stay healthy, you're fundamentally sound and you play really hard and you make plays. So it's really not that complicated, but I think sometimes parents and coaches really overanalyze it.
Wow, that's tremendous insight, especially coming from somebody in your position. What are key characteristics that you will not compromise on a student athlete that you recruit?
Well, first and foremost, academically, they have to fit Northwestern. They have to fit our program academically. They've got to be about the right things in the classroom. And if they're not, they don't have that, I can't recruit them, I'm sorry. Character-wise, they need to make great choices socially. That's not only on social media, but also in the choices they make. You know, when they're away from their parents, their family, their coaches, their preachers, and everything that from an accountability standpoint. And then third, you know, we're looking for young men that give great effort in everything they do. I think that character decision is revolving in everything in your life, and it's got to be academically, it's got to be socially, and then we better see it on the field too.
What's one message you have for youth sports parents today?
Well, if I were to give one piece of advice to youth sport parents, it would be this. Number one, be a parent. Make sure you're evaluating the program that you're putting your son or daughter in to make sure it's healthy and safe. Second of all, make sure the fundamentals that are being taught are going to help your student athlete improve and get better in the game. And then be a great supporter of your son or daughter and of the coaching staff. Those typically, grade school coaches are volunteers. They're trying to do everything they can to make the experience be great. And be a part of the solution as a parent, not a part of the problem. And just help them out. Do everything that you can. And then, you know, hold the coaches accountable. If they're not doing the right things, and you need to have a conversation with them. And you need to make sure that you're putting your child in the right situation. It's not about the end. It's not about the scholarship. It's not about the next steps. It's about what are we learning right here and right now that's going to make our son or daughter a better person and a better teammate. And through that, they're going to become the best player that they're capable of. So enjoy every moment of it and just have a lot of fun being a youth sport parent. I do. I love it. I love every minute of it. And I look forward to the car rides home after a tough win or a tough loss and listening to what my sons have to say to help them navigate through it.
Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining me for this conversation and all the best of luck with the rest of your season.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it so much. Go Cats.
Absolutely. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode of Winning is Not Everything. Remember, youth sports is not about titles, trophies, and rankings. It's about character development, effort, and sportsmanship. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you again next time.